The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells is considered to be a science fiction classic. It has been read by millions. In 1938, its reading on radio caused a panic, and it has spawned two blockbuster movies. Is an invasion from outer space a possibility? Did you know that the Bible actually predicts an invasion of this Earth from beyond our atmosphere? We're going to talk about what the Bible says about the end times here on Beyond Today.
Join our host, Gary Petty, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
On October 20th, 1938, a CBS radio program airing dance music was interrupted with an alarming story of an alien invasion of New Jersey. And these invaders weren't from another country, but were strange creatures from Mars. At regular intervals, the music stopped as listeners were told of massive destruction and death spreading around the world by a powerful and unstoppable enemy. Of course, the truth was that Orson Welles was simply dramatizing H.G. Wells' science fiction novel, War of the Worlds. Many missed the announcement, and there was that this was just simply a drama, and panic began to spread. Some began to leave their homes and head for what they thought would be safer places. Telephone lines were jammed. Hundreds of New Jersey National Guardsmen actually tried to report to duty, and the governor of Pennsylvania, he offered to send troops. The panic eventually faded as people began to understand that the danger was nothing more than imagination run amok. The War of the Worlds was first published in 1898 and has undergone many editions. It was made into a movie in 1953 and again in 2005. It's a simple story. Strange, intelligent, and violent alien creatures invade the Earth and try to erase all humankind. It's a reoccurring storyline in many science fiction movies, from the Cold War-inspired The Day the Earth Stood Still to The Invasion of the Body Snatchers and, of course, the 1996 blockbuster Independence Day. An interesting theme of Wells' original War of the Worlds is that people turn to God in their time of crisis. Most science fiction takes a more humanistic approach, where human beings learn to work together for the benefit of all. Prejudice, avarice, and competition are replaced with a utopian vision of John Lennon's famous song, Imagine, where all ideas are equal, everybody's enlightened by human goodness, and people no longer need God. Revelation, the last book in the Bible, an ancient text written by people far removed from the technological age that created science fiction, contains predictions of a future invasion of Earth. John, a disciple of Jesus, describes how nations will unite together to try and repel the attackers, but the armies will descend from the sky to kill many and actually conquer the Earth. John even tells us the name of the leader of this invading force. He is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is returning to this earth not as a baby in the manger, but as the conquering King of Kings. This isn't bad news. It's the only good news for the future of humanity. Jesus Christ is returning to this earth to save us from ourselves. On Beyond Today, we're going to talk about the future reality of the War of the Worlds. So we'd like to welcome to our discussion writer, pastor, and world news commentator, Melvin Rhodes, and pastor, commentator, Todd Carey. Gentlemen, Hi. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
You know, I think many people are, of course, fascinated with biblical prophecy and that predicts an end time or the end of the world. Does the Bible actually talk about an invasion of Earth from beyond?
Well, it does, but not in the way that science fiction writers write about it. It certainly has no resemblance to what H.G. Wells wrote in the story The War of the Worlds. The Christians do believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, is going to return to this earth at some point in the future. And so in that sense, there is going to be an invasion. And not only does he return, but he returns with his followers and with a great army.
Jesus actually talks about this, doesn't he?
Jesus told his disciples, Gary, that, you know, there's going to come a time when amazing events will transpire. And these events would be just prior to his return. And he told them how certain things would happen, of how, you know, stars would be falling, of how the sun would not give off its light, of how the moon would be darkened. And he says, all these things are going to transpire just prior to my return. A trumpet would sound, something that everyone would hear. You talked about, you know, the War of the Worlds and how when that first ship came down and people are watching it, Christ says, when this trumpet sounds, people are going to stop and they're going to look and they're going to see something very fantastic, and it will be the returning Jesus Christ with the heavenly host.
You know, Todd, even though this is a description of a war, Jesus Christ isn't coming back to destroy humanity. He's actually coming back as the Savior.
That's exactly right. He's coming coming back with his army from heaven, and he wants to set up his government upon this planet. And he's not coming back to, you know, pacify man or try to, you know, show them an easier way. He's coming back to show them the way. And he's coming back with power and glory, and he's coming back with something that man needs. That's hope and a way to live their lives properly before him.
You know, Melvin, why would people resist, even Christians, resist their Savior?
I think the answer to that is found in the scriptures. Satan is described as the god of this world, and he's also described in Revelation chapter 12 as the great deceiver who's deceived the whole world. And most people on this planet are deceived. They follow religions which are not true, and even most Christians are deceived too. And so a lot of Christians are expecting one thing, but when Christ returns, quite another thing is going to happen.
You know, when we begin to look at the prophecies like you've talked about in the book of Revelation, it is interesting. I mean, the theme of the science fiction, where nations get together to repel the invaders, that's actually somewhat like what's going to happen, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. The nations of this world will be opposed to Jesus Christ when he returns. I mean, you think about it, the leaders of this world, for example, they've done quite well out of this world and the way that things are. And so when Christ returns, they're going to feel threatened. But I think also because people just will not be expecting Christ's return. So they will see that when Christ returns, they'll think it's somebody else, or, you know, they'll be opposed to him for that reason.
How could they think it's somebody else? I mean, how can that happen?
Well, you think about, you know, Jesus Christ, one of his names is the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
But there's also another prince at work, and he's known by the name of the Prince of the Power of the Air. And that Prince of the Power of the Air is Satan. And Satan is the god of this world. And he's going to deceive mankind to the point where people are willing to put aside their petty differences. People put aside hundreds of years of animosity and warfare and hatred, and they will actually be so deceived that they will end up engaging Jesus Christ at his return and try to defeat him in an all-out war.
I'm amazed how many people now look at the book of Revelation, Christians, as just an analogy. And yet that book clearly states, John was inspired by God to clearly state that there will come a time when nations will unite. Not completely. There's going to be conflict between them. But they are going to unite to try to repel what they see as an invasion from outer space.
Yeah, that's true. And again, you think about Satan as the great deceiver. He's deceived people, even Christians, into believing that the Bible is not true. It's not the Word of God. And yet at the same time, science fiction is often believed by people as being the truth.
Now, I think sometimes people's religion is a little bit of old-time Baptist religion they learned as a kid, a little bit of Catholicism, a little bit of New Age, and a little bit of the science fiction channel. And they mix it all together and they come up with what they think is Christianity, but really isn't. We want to come back in a minute and tell you more about the coming War of the Worlds. But first, we want to tell you how to get your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End? We'll be back right after this.
Is the 21st century the beginning of the end of the world as we know it, with America's big cities blown up like Baghdad and its government shattered? Your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End will reveal what the Bible says about our world in perpetual crisis. See among hundreds of prophecies where we are now in a timeline of events Jesus predicted would be worse than ever before or will be ever again. Read Jesus' predictions in the book of Revelation and his comparison of Noah's age with ours. While many religions contradict one another, prepare yourself by knowing for yourself what the Bible says by calling 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End?
On Beyond Today, we've been discussing the future War of the Worlds predicted in the Bible. You know, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John predicts that Jesus will return to this earth, this time with an army. Todd, who is that army?
Well, Gary, it's not aliens coming from some far-reaching planet in order to repopulate the earth and put mankind in slavery. This is the returning Jesus Christ, coming in power and glory with the heavenly host and the saints.
Who are the saints, Melvin?
The saints are the true followers of Jesus Christ. They are the ones who have repented of their sins, been baptized, received the Holy Spirit. They're sanctified, they're set apart by God, and they are the people of God who keep the commandments of God. And they're called in the saints throughout the scriptures. Whenever you see the word saints mentioned, that's who it's talking about.
So it's just not talking about people who have reached some kind of special status with God, but it's talking about all believers who are accepted by God.
Exactly. Anybody who has the Holy Spirit and is following Jesus Christ and keeping the commandments is somebody that is called a saint.
Why does the Bible, or what does the Bible say why people are going to resist Jesus Christ? I mean, he's coming back to save the world. He's coming back to bring peace. He's coming back to heal people. Why is humanity going to resist him so much?
Well, Gary, God has always wanted man to follow him. God has always wanted to teach man. And he works with nations. He began with a nation of Israel, the children of Israel. And he said, you know, I'm going to put before you two ways. The way of life, and that leads to wonderful things, uplifting things. He said, there's another way too, and that leads ultimately to your destruction. He said, there they are, you choose one of them. Well, man has chose for the most part the wrong way. And it's that same way that when Jesus Christ walked this earth, he spoke to the religious leaders of the day. And he said, you also want to go that other way. You want to go after, really, what is Satan's way that leads to destruction, animosity, and destruction. He said, you know, you just want to go that direction. And he didn't want them to, but they had a strong desire to. It will be that mindset and that attitude that is permeating the entire earth when Jesus Christ returns.
You know, it's amazing to me that here we come with the doctor with the antidote. We're all sick. We just don't want to take our medicine.
No, that's true. I was thinking as Todd was speaking of how Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 6. He said, why do you call me Lord, but do not the things that I say? A lot of people claim to be Christians. They claim to follow Jesus Christ, but they don't follow his example, nor do they obey the instructions and the commandments which he gave us.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting point. I mean, we can see there that people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims who don't accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the Messiah, we could see why they might reject a returning Jesus Christ. But the concept that Christians are going to reject the returning Jesus Christ?
Well, Jesus said, he said in Matthew 24, he said, prior to my return, he said, there's going to be people, there's going to be individuals walking around, and they're going to be talking about a different Jesus. They're going to be teaching that he's coming in different ways. And Jesus said, this is going to deceive many people. And they're going to say, Jesus is over here. Jesus is over there. He said, don't believe that. I'm going to tell you exactly the way I'm going to return. But he did say there will be other false Jesus, false Christ being preached towards the end time.
And that's in Matthew 24. So we're talking about the very words of Jesus Christ now that he predicted about his own coming, right?
Yeah. But what it really comes down to is people just do not want to do what Jesus Christ told them to do. And he pointed everybody to God the Father and reaffirmed the commandments which are given in the Old Testament. People do not want to change their lives. They don't want to obey God's laws. And so when Christ returns, they're going to be hostile towards him.
You know, when you think about it, you're talking about the commandments, the simple instructions, don't kill, don't steal from each other, don't commit adultery, don't lie to each other. It's amazing when you think about how good those are for human beings. And that's what Jesus Christ wants to teach, and that's what Christians themselves many times don't want to hear or want to do. It's almost like we want to accept Jesus Christ as the baby in the manger. We want to accept him as Savior on the cross because that gives us life. We just don't want to accept him as Lord and Master.
Yeah, generally speaking, you know, we push against authority, law. It has a sting to it, for the most part, generally speaking, in our society, of being told what to do. It's easy to perceive Jesus as that soft, easygoing, you know, loving, and he is love, and he is gentle, and he is kind. But to think of him as a conquering king, of one who is bringing with him his set of rules, if I may, his law, and he's going to enforce those laws. That's a tough love side of Jesus that we don't hear a great deal about. And so he said, you know, I'm going to bring this. And not only is he going to bring it, Gary, you know, he's going to institute it and it will be followed.
We like the Jesus meek and mild.
Yes.
You know, even the concept of discipleship. The disciple in at the time of Jesus Christ wasn't just a student. A disciple was someone who actually followed the master, who imitated the master. And that is the concept that's in the Bible of what Christians are supposed to be. Imitators of the master. Not just sort of people who claim to be Christians, who like the Bible, who can quote some parables. And in reality, Jesus is not their master.
Christianity is all about changing. You've got to change your whole life in order to follow Jesus Christ. And you've got to be willing to give up everything that is contrary to what Jesus Christ taught and what we're taught in the Scriptures. I mean, you just take one example. You mentioned the commandments. One of the commandments that you mentioned was you shall not commit adultery. Our whole society today takes morality very lightly. And our entertainment industry is based around breaking all of God's commandments, including that one. In fact, especially that one. And most Christians, it seems, are not willing to change in that area, for example. So you can see why people will be hostile when Christ returns.
The creator of life knows how life is supposed to work. We don't want to accept that. We want to accept the benefits from the creator of life, but we want to do it our way. We don't want to do it his way.
Yes, it's almost as if there's a tendency to want to reinvent Jesus Christ in the way we want him to be for us. And for us, it's like, here's what I want Jesus to be to me.
Yes.
But when you look in the Scriptures and you see what Jesus Christ truly is and what he's truly going to do at his return and how he's going to establish, you know, his government when he arrives at the Mount of Olives, and that mount splits and we're going to have, you know, I mean, law. We're going to have governance in the correct way, in the right way. That has never happened before with Jesus Christ as the head and Jesus Christ as the ruler and the king of this.
Right at the beginning of the Bible, we read that God created man in his image. But what's happened is that man has recreated God in his own image. So
people we've custom-made Jesuses all over the place, custom-made Jesuses, which in many cases have nothing to do with the real person of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Yeah. So with all these custom-made Jesuses, when the real one shows up, there's a lot of people that just won't recognize him. I mean, the irony of that is just unbelievable. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. Come back in just a moment because we're going to talk more about the coming War of the Worlds and about the return of Jesus Christ. First, we want to tell you how to get your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End? It's free, and we want to give you a free copy, so we'll be right back.
Is the 21st century the beginning of the end of the world as we know it, with America's big cities blown up like Baghdad and its government shattered? While many religions contradict one another, prepare yourself by knowing for yourself what the Bible says, by calling 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End? Where do you get good news in a world of tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, and war? What is the spiritual context for understanding why there is more monster disaster now than in recent history? Find out in your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Stay positive and get spiritual awareness without follow-up for money. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv.
You know, we've been talking a lot about sort of the gloom and doom of the end times that the Bible talks about, but actually, the real story is a wonderful time that when Jesus Christ returns, what he's going to do with humanity once he comes back, right?
Yes. I mean, you think about the fact that in the book of Isaiah, for example, a glorious picture is painted of the time when Christ returns. And one scripture that comes very much to mind is where we're told in the book of Isaiah that they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And, you know, those words are written on the UN building.
Yes.
And they've been there for 60 years in the city of New York. And it's ironic that during that 60 years, the world has seen more conflict than in any other 60-year period in the entire history of recorded man. And yet man has not been able to achieve that peace. But when Christ returns, that peace will be there for everybody to enjoy.
It is amazing that, I mean, in many ways, the United Nations is the supreme attempt by humanity to stop violence. And they haven't been able to do it at all.
No, they haven't. In fact, things are worse now than they have been at any other time.
So Jesus Christ is coming back to stop war.
He's coming back to stop war. And in addition to that, Gary, he speaks of a time. If you remember, when Christ came the first time, one of his miracles that he loved to perform was healing. He would heal people of their infirmities. And this time, the second coming, he's going to do more healing. The Bible speaks of a time when there's going to be a healing of the heavens and the earth. Think of a time when, you know, pollution will be gone. And we can't conceive of that right now. Think of a time of the healing of the waters, of our atmosphere. You know, it speaks of a time of the healing of the land, a healing of the animals, but also a healing of man. Man will be healed, and man will learn how to get along with his fellow man, how to work together in harmony before God, how to worship their God for the first time. So a healing of religion will take place as well.
So the healing takes place on a physical level, emotional level, spiritual level, everything. He's coming back to heal everything.
Well, one thing we're told regarding the spiritual level is that the world shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. You see, everybody is going to know about Jesus Christ. And that puts a different perspective on everything. Most of the conflicts that we've experienced over the last few hundred years have had a religious dimension. Peoples from different religious beliefs have been in conflict with each other. Even with Christians, that's been the case. Yes. Christians, Protestants and Catholics and so on. But when Jesus Christ returns, we will have this one religion for the whole earth. So a major source of conflict will be over.
Now, that's not a popular concept. I mean, to even say something like that, even in Christian circles, you can be seen as some kind of fanatic. I mean, we're talking about Christ coming back to establish one world religion, one world government, in which his viewpoints are enforced on everyone.
Yeah, that's true, but I think people need to look at it a little bit differently. When we look at the Bible, we understand that this is the good news, the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. And in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ himself said, if he did not return, then mankind would destroy himself. He says, unless those days are shortened, no one would be saved. So people will be saved by Christ's return. So it's a case of if Jesus Christ did not return, we would destroy ourselves. So it is good news that he's returning. Good news that he's going to give us this one religion. Good news that he's going to give us peace. And good news that all the problems that this society has are going to be resolved.
It's still a hard concept in our democracy that we live in. The idea that the representative government is going to change when there's a king. We're going to live under a monarchy.
That is exactly right. And this monarch is going to bring with him his governance. He's going to bring his law. And at his return, there will be no time for debating or trying to decide if we're all going to follow this law. Christ is going to return and said, this is the way. And every nation on this planet is going to learn to follow. They're going to learn how to worship for the first time their supreme being. They're going to learn the days that he has set aside to worship, and he's going to bring all nations into himself, you know, to worship him. That has never happened before, and that's going to happen at his return, of what it is to have a relationship with your Creator.
You know, it'd be easy to hear what we're talking about here and say, well, you're sort of beating up on non-Christians, you know, Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists who don't worship the God of the Bible. But in reality, all Christians are going to have to learn to worship God in a way that's true, that's real, in a way that really Christianity doesn't today.
That's correct. We're talking about, you know, those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. And that transcends your nationality or your culture, your religious background. You know, if you're led by God's Spirit, you're his child.
Many people think of when we talk about the end times in the Bible, it's just the violent destruction of humanity and the destruction of the earth. But what we're talking about here is the end times are good times, because it's a time when Christ comes back and he begins to really solve humanity's problems.
Yeah. I mean, really, when you think about it and look back at history, man has made a mess of everything. I mean, there have been periods in certain civilizations where things have gone better than at other times. But really, the repeated lesson of history throughout thousands of years has been that man really is incapable of ruling himself. And that's why we need Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, to rule over this earth and teach us the right way to do things and bring about the peace that man has found so elusive.
No wonder people resist Jesus Christ. I mean, the very statements you made that, no, we can take care of ourselves. We know how to rule ourselves. We know what's best for us. And the fact that our Creator actually says, no, you don't. And I'm going to step in. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning for humanity.
It is. When we talk about the end time, and, you know, you think back to some of the movies you've watched and some of the old westerns I used to watch, you would have an element in town who was very religious, and they'd walk through town with placards on saying, this is the end. The end is coming. The end is near. When in actuality, in the scriptures, we understand that the end times is actually the beginning of a new time, a better time, a wonderful time. It heralds the end of Satan's dominance, of Satan's rule over mankind. The deception will end, and now we have the ushering in of a new government led by Jesus Christ.
And of course, Satan is a real being. Satan exists. And Satan has a viewpoint that he wants to destroy humanity, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He wants us to destroy ourselves, and he's an aggressive force, always causing contention, turning people against each other. He's described in the scriptures as the accuser of the brethren, and he's like that with mankind in general. So he's always dividing and causing problems.
Just briefly, what happens to Satan when Christ comes back? What happens to this being who's the God of the world right now, according to the scripture?
Well, one of the things that Christ is going to do at his return, Satan will be dealt with finally. His dominance, his influence on man is going to end. He's going to be shackled, and he's going to be removed so that God can work uninhibited with mankind for 1,000 years, what we were calling the millennium. And that's going to happen. He'll be taken away, removed. And finally, for the first time, man will truly be able to learn the things that he needs to learn when it comes to relating with his Creator.
Hey, the coming War of the Worlds is actually great news. We'll be back to wrap things up right after this.
Is the 21st century the beginning of the end of the world as we know it, with America's big cities blown up like Baghdad and its government shattered? While many religions contradict one another, prepare yourself by knowing for yourself what the Bible says by calling 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End?
The real war of the worlds predicted in the Bible is actually good news. The only solutions to humanity's problems and your problems is the return of Jesus Christ to establish one world religion, one world government, one world educational system. It is the only way to stop the war and violence and bring peace, freedom, and prosperity to all. Todd and Melvin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
For inviting us.
When you are looking to understand your future, remember this program. Please join us next week for another edition of Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.